Just a reminder, God can do anything. Even if we hadn't seen it before, God can do anything. Take your Bibles, if you will, please. We're going back to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6, and it kind of goes along with our message here today. Judges chapter 6. I do want to just remind you, we do have these cards. What we're doing here this fall, we always have a Bible conference. And that's good. It's fine. We've been doing that for 15 years. What we're doing this fall, we're calling Revive. There's a revival service, but it's revival for the church, but it's also a reviving service, if you will, for our community, for the people in our area. I'm calling it Revive, Finding Hope in an Uncertain World. Now, Brother Harper's going to be here. His wife and his daughter also do a simultaneous children's service as well. So these are services. It's going to be all day on that Sunday, but then it's Monday night, Tuesday morning, like we always do. We'll have two speakers there, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. So why are you doing that? The point is for us to be inviting people. That's what these are for. I want you to hand them out by the hands full. We want to get as many folks invited as we can. And there's hope. There's hope in this mess that we live in. And I'm hoping you're kind of catching that, the drift of that in these Sunday morning messages. And we're working up on some things on Sunday night. And listen, we can make a difference. God, if we put ourselves in the hands of God, we use as His tool. But if we sit back and just stay by the status quo, nothing's going to change, and we're going to stay right where we are. So I really want to encourage you to do that. Hand those out, whomever you may think, the grocery store gal, you know, the guy at the gas station, the one waiting who's pumping his gas while you're waiting to pump your gas, and all this. Just hand them out, neighbors. Give them out, invite them, just say, hey, listen, it's going to be a blessing. Just come any one of those nights. And so you can't say, well, I worked that night. Well, okay, we got Sunday, we got Monday, we got Tuesday, we got Wednesday, we got Thursday. And so really encourage you. I really want to encourage you to do that. Also, before we read our passage, it's that time of the month here again when give a little report on where we are in the mortgage. And you all, again, have been very faithful. In the back page there, we are over $211,000 ahead on the mortgage, which means we're a year and 10 months ahead on the mortgage. And so we've paid, like I said, we've already paid an extra $80,000, but that has saved us $132,000 in interest. So I just want you to remember that's a real blessing, and it really is a big help. Judges chapter 6. Most of you know the story of Gideon. And I want us to see some things here this morning. And I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to walk through a lot of the passages. Not really a key verse for me here this morning, but we're going to be in a lot of passages. So we're going to pray first. And I'm titling my message here this morning. Last week was who? Me? All right, well, this week it's who? Me? Yes, you. Who, me? Yes, you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings, and we thank you for the hope that we have in you. And Lord, if we're not careful, we will become like Gideon did, just kind of despondent, disillusioned, discouraged, despairing, trying to hide where we just kind of get through life, when really, when God shows up, he calls him a mighty man of valor. And Lord, we aren't, but in him we are. So Lord, I need you here this morning. We ask for your Holy Spirit to move and give us your truths. And we'll be a blessing. We'll be encouragement. Lord, instill in our hearts that we really can make a difference. We really can help shape our community. Shape our families. We don't have to live and hide our faith and,
and hide our love for you and our work for you. And Lord, there's some things here we're going to have to see. Very similar, again, much like it is today in our society. So Lord, ask for your Holy Spirit to speak to us. There may be some discouragement, other things you may teach us through these lessons this morning. I'm kind of aiming toward one particular thing, but Lord, you're the Holy Spirit. So you give us each what we need. Because I think a lot of folks get discouraged in life, and they feel like this is all there is, and I can't do anything about it, and we're stuck, and life will always be like that. But my Lord, there's so much that can be done when we yield ourselves to you. So we're going to take this. We ask you to do a great work, and I ask in Christ's name, amen. I was going to rewrite my introduction, but I kept, it says what I wanted to say, so let me kind of work through this for like I did last week. Christianity, we feel like, is being oppressed, pushed down, and I understand that. And there's some folks who think that we are the enemy. I mean, there's Christian organizations that are on the internet that are considered to be hate groups. And all they do is believe that Jesus Christ died and paid for the sins, and he's the one and only, you know, and because we don't necessarily agree with all the sins that the world's getting into, they think we hate them. I don't hate them, but what they're doing is wrong. And according to God's word, whether it's my word, not my taste, or it's not my opinion. So we feel like Christianity is being oppressed, and we appear to be on the short end of the stick with no recourse. And we appear to be outnumbered and outmaneuvered and outmuscled. And we're being intimidated. And we're afraid to let ourselves be known in fear of retaliation from the world. And we would rather lay low often than bring attention to ourselves and cause ourselves even more issues. We just kind of think, well, I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to stir anything up. And to be honest with you, we get to the point where we think we're good Christians because we didn't stir anything up. Jesus said, I didn't come... You know, he said, I came to divide. He said, well, listen, if you take a stand on Jesus, it's going to make a difference. I mean, somebody's going to be right there with you. Some are not going to be with you. There are people, listen, there are people, I told you this, there's people in this town who hate me. And there's people in this town who think that they were blessed the Lord for me to show up. I don't know about that. But it's good both ends. And I'll tell you what the difference is. They know I believe the book and we preach the book. Now, if you don't like the book, you're not going to like me. Now, I know I talk a lot, but I really don't have anything to say except what this book has to say. By the way, I went to the dentist this week, and I want you to know the dental hygienist says I have a little mouth. I know it's hard to believe, but that's what she said. So I just thought I'd report. Now, many of us are willing to, I can use it though, I use it with full advantage. Many of us are too willing to accept our situation and think this is normal. We resign ourselves to a state of loss. We appease ourselves by thinking it's Christian to be content in whatever state we're in. And if the Lord has put us in a state, we should be there with content. The problem is sin and disobedience and indifference to the Word of God has allowed us to be put in this state. We should not be content with that. And just like the Israelites and Judges, we've been seeking God on our own terms. We've seen that the last few weeks. We want to see our sin. We want to be nice about this, but yet we know it goes against God's Word. And during the time of the Judges, every man did that which was right in his own eyes because there was no king in Israel. I'll tell you what, there's no king in America. We all want to be king of our own castle. We all want to decide what truth is. We want to make a difference. We want to make the decision that what's right and what's wrong. No difference than Adam and Eve. You know, they want to be as God, deciding good and evil. And so we've been trying to do our own thing, and we wonder why it's craziness out here, because we've taken the absolutes and thrown them out the window. So America has been in the process of rejecting the Lord as sovereign. And we seek God on our own terms because we want to do right according to our own definition and our own mind. We kind of wanted to fix all this stuff, but we want to continue to do what we have been doing. And we're not sure we want to keep the ways of the world totally out of our lives. We kind of like some of those things. We have allowed a little here and a little there over the generations until the world has been allowed to come in and take over. The philosophies and the religions of the world are dominating the people while Christians shrug their shoulders saying, well, what can we do? The heathen practices of this world are building a wall of separation between us and the Lord. Sinful lust of adultery, homosexuality, abortion are rampant. And see, and the fact is, when I just mention that, you say, yeah, but that's just normal today. And it's not supposed to be. It never was intended to be. Again, I don't hate these people, but it's wrong. And we're getting on the wrong side of God. All such things are what got the heathen nations cast out of the promised land and allowed the Jews to come in and possess it. Now somehow we think we can do the same thing and God's going to be okay with it. God has given us a great nation. If we practice these same abominations, we can expect to lose the blessing of God and see the curse. I think American Christians have a guilty conscience that's convicting them. And in the back of their minds, they know that they're living on borrowed time, and yet we do nothing to change that status. We hide our heads in the sand. It seems as if we think that if we don't think about our strained relationship with God, that it's not there. Everything's okay. Like it's not to be feared. And yet we know that's idiotic. We know in the back of our minds we're not where God wants us to be. We know that we're not doing what we're supposed to do. And somehow we just think, well, I hope we just kind of slide through and make it till my grandkids can grow up and get out of here. And, you know, and it's just like, well, let's just hope we just survive until then. Listen, it could all change. It could all change today. We got to be ready. We got to change this process. Our nation as a whole has set the Bible on the shelf. They admired it as a tradition, but they have forgotten what it says. And we expect our nation to be spared. Our nation is going to have to be regenerated. Not being conformed to this world, or even conformed to the religious practices, but transformed by the renewing of the mind, by the Word of God, and the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. Our nation needs the regenerating power of God on it. If we expect our nation to survive, it must be made alive in Christ. To be made alive in Christ, it must be transformed. It's going to be necessary for the church, the body of Christ, to be revived, brought back to life, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and then go out and win the lost at any cost. Any cost. Because otherwise we lose it anyway. Now last week we set the stage. How do we get into this mess? And hopefully you kind of know the story of Gideon here. But the verse in Gideon, just like in Gideon, here's how we did it. Judges 6, verse number 1 and 2. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. What does it mean? They did that which was right in their own eyes. We've been doing what we want. Character and honesty, morals. Do right because it's right, even if it's inconvenient. America has said, we ask them to be nice. We've kind of let so much of that slide. Oh, it's okay, don't worry about it. No, we ought to worry about it. Listen, we want to be on the right side of God, so we're getting the blessing and not the cursing. Times go by, we slack up, we fail to seek the Lord on purpose. Now you say, well, you failed on purpose? No, we failed to seek Him on purpose. You don't happen by accident to seek the Lord. You're going to seek the Lord, you're going to seek Him on purpose. We get up one morning, one of these days I will. Well, one of these days, well, no, you got to do it on purpose. But we want God our own terms, but we do our own thing. The Lord is going to deliver us up, just like He said there. In other words, allow us to be given to the world. That's what we said we wanted. Go ahead. So where are we? Well, secondly, we learned last week that Christians have come to the point where they almost hide the fact that they're Christians so as to avoid confrontation, what we call persecution. We hide in our churches. It's good to go to church, and we need it. We need to be here. But I remember years ago, I don't see Carol this morning. I think she had to work this morning. But her mom, Mary Eisenhart, bless her heart. We called her Queen Mary. Used to sit out here and greet everybody. And I remember leading her and Carol to the Lord, oh man, years ago. And Miss Mary got it. I mean, she got it good. And when she was all wound up. I remember when they took her in the ambulance one time down the hospital. I heard that they were taking her down. By the time I got to the hospital, I actually got to the hospital before she did in the ambulance. And they brought her into her little room there in the emergency room. I was standing there, and the guys that brought her in here, the EMT, says, "You must be Pastor Walsh." "Yeah, we heard all about you all the way down the road." All she said, well, it was my time to croak. It's okay. It's my time to croak. It's okay, because I know where I'm going. You got a church, you ought to go to Lighthouse Baptist Church. That's the place you ought to go. And I tell you what, she was something. She had it settled. She had it settled. She wasn't afraid to say who she was. But we've come to the point we want to hide the fact, is that we want to avoid it. We hide in our churches. She told me one Sunday, she said, "Preacher, I learned something today. I always thought I was a Christian because I went into the church doors. I found out you really don't really practice being a Christian until you go outside the church doors." And she was 80 years old learning that, but she learned it. Sometimes we hide in our homes. We don't, you know, what we have, we'll do this in our house, but we don't tell anybody else, and we don't stand up for things. Or maybe we hide in the worldly practices and the clothes and the music and the programs. All that we don't want to do things that's too churchy. You know, we don't want to, every time you get together, I remember years ago I was in a mainline denominational church, and we had youth group, and the youth pastor was asking, you know, what some things you'd like to do. And this one gal spoke up and says, well, can't we do something when we don't have to be preached at? We always get together and, you know, do we always have to be preached at when we get together? Well, no, but I don't think I'd say it that way. I mean, if we want to, I'm not going to complain because we get the Bible. It is a church. You know, after all, it is a church. And as we hide, the world has been slowly squeezing it. We haven't said anything. We haven't stood up. We haven't decided to be different. We're going to be different. It's okay. In fact, it's expected. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. And as we've been hiding these things, as we learned in Judges there, it's like the world slowly comes in and takes over and takes this right from us. And this ought to be ours. We don't have that anymore. We can't say this. You can't do this. My soul, you can't say God. You can't say Jesus. You even can't even call a man and a woman a woman. Get yourself in trouble. Why is that? Because somebody has not been standing up and just living for God. You know what? All the Christians in our country would just stand up and live for God and just let God be part of their general conversation. I think people would be scared to talk against him. I really do. And so it has come in now. So to fix the problem, God calls for repentance. And again, in our passage here, it says that God, in chapter 6, verse 8, says the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel. He sent a prophet there and said, "Listen, I've given you everything. The problem is you have not obeyed my voice," in verse 10 it says. And God has done that over the years. He has sent men along and told us, "Listen, America, you better wake up. You better wake up. We have this nation because God gave it to us." There was no reason in the world that little ragtag army that we call the Minutemen should and the early army that we have, what we would call an army, should ever have been able to defeat the most powerful nation in the world at the time. Huh, God's people defeated the most powerful nation in the world. That happened in the Old Testament too, didn't it? That's a God thing. It doesn't happen by accident. And God gave us our nation, but the problem is we've got it now and we're going to take it. And over the years here, we've decided we don't need to obey His voice. So God calls on His people. And so we have here in our passage here in Judges 6, it says there came, verse 11, there came an angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, verse 12, and said, "Thou, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor, powerful warrior of force." Now we may question if God can do anything with us, but God says, "I can do something." He says, "If you will let me do something." Now Gideon is hiding. He's not getting anything done. He's everybody else. He's helpless. He's hopeless. He's hiding. He's hurting. Gloom, despair, and agony on me, and all that. How am I going to be able to do this? And he said, how can God be with us if all these things are going on? And Gideon says, listen, God has forsaken us. And the angel of the Lord, which I believe was a reincarnate Christ, says, no. You all have forsaken Him. And how is that? If nothing else, simply because we did not seek Him with our whole heart on purpose. Every Christian needs to make a decision. Is God God or is He not? If He's God, then we had better not play games with Him. If He's God, then He's the answer to everything we need. He's our protection. He's our provision. If He's God, He gets to make the rules. If He's God, then I'm not. I don't get to make the rules. If I want to see the blessing of God, I'm going to have to do it His way. So if He's God, I need to seek Him on His terms. I have no right to come in and make demands and even requests. Now He says, come to me, all you that labor. I know. He says, come boldly to the throne of grace. That's good. That's right, we can. As His child, to pray in His will, to find out what He wants, how He wants it done, when He wants it done. What's in my life that needs to come out? So here we got this people who have just kind of, they're sitting in the corner sucking their thumb because they just kind of didn't bother to do right with the Lord. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. And God turned them over. Not out of retaliation, not out of retribution, but in hopes to restore them. You want that? All right, try it for a little bit. Lift His hand of blessing. Cursing really means, really, the cursing of God is not that God is vengeful. That's not what it means. You might can say it up. The word curse simply means God takes His hand of blessing off. Takes His hand of protection off. And leaves you exposed to the wiles of the world and the wiles of the devil. You say, I don't need God. Okay, let me show you what you have. He doesn't have to put a curse. He doesn't have to put hurt on us. All we got to do is live out in this world, and the world will hurt us by itself. So He calls a man of valor because it's God's power. It's God's business. God, listen, when He calls him a man of valor, that's his potential. You know, we have men and women of valor in this room. You have the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. God of the universe, Jehovah, lives inside of you. Oh me, what can I do? Just listen to Him. Read His book and do what He says. Ask Him to help you to do it right. To empower you to do it. Well, would He really do it? Yes, He will. So what's our plan of attack? All right. New stuff. Number one, what can we do? We need to decide to fear and follow God. Let me say it again. We need to decide to fear and follow God. Now, I'll be, you know as well as I, there's people sitting here right now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there it is again. Now, wait a minute, he's God. Well, all those stories in the Old Testament, they're fun. They're fine. You know, they rank right up there with, all the other fairy tales. And no, this is what God did. Well, we don't see that kind of thing every day, so it can't be right. If you saw it every day, you wouldn't think it was of God. It is abnormal. It's supposed to be abnormal. If it made sense, it wouldn't take faith. Well, why are we seeing it? We're saying the same thing Gideon did. Well, you delivered us from Egypt and this and that, and here's all these miracles. Where's the miracles? You have forsaken us, God. No, I haven't, he says. You walked away from me. We need to decide that he's God. We're going to fear and follow God. You know, we need to forsake the false ways and the philosophies of those around us, and even those we have adopted in the past, and go back to God and do right. Look at Judges chapter 6, verse 24. God comes to Gideon and says, you're a mighty man of valor. And he said, well, are you talking to me? Yeah, I'm talking to you. And Gideon decides to do something. Look at what he says here. Judges chapter 6, verse 24. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Jezreelites. You know what Jehovah Shalom means? God is peace. God is our peace. Our hearts are in turmoil. We live in a world where we're afraid to speak up. Listen, he wasn't getting rid of the problems. You're going to have peace in the midst of the problems. Everybody has problems. Listen, you can go through the problems alone, or you can go through the problems with the Lord. That's the difference. We all live in this world. Man born a woman, his days are few and full of trouble. There's nothing new. Oh, me. Now, you're not the only one who has issues. You're not the only one that was abused. You're not the only one who's had some raw deals. What's the difference? The difference is whether you let God be in your life or whether you're going to try to do it yourself. Well, I'll take care of myself. Well, how's that working? How's that working? I'll tell you what, it's not. You cut yourself off from the rest of the world and you think you're happy. And you know you're not. And nothing new is happening. Not getting anywhere than we should have been. Not anywhere where we should be. You say, you want peace? Go to God. Look what happened. Build an altar. You know what that means? He gave it up. Well, I don't know, but he gave it up for God. Sacrificed. This is not worth whatever it is. Whatever it is not worth ruining your relationship with God. Whatever is standing between you and a strong relationship with God, you need to get rid of it. Sacrifice it. Put it on the altar. Get rid of it. We need to get rid of any opposition to God in our hearts. And this should happen by default if we're fearing and following God. Right? If I fear God, then I don't want what God doesn't want me to have. If I'm following God, then whatever is keeping me from following God, I need to get rid of. Because he's God. We need to decide he's God. Look at verse 25. Watch this. First thing he did, the plan of attack, was to get rid of the false ways. Look at this, though. Verse 25. It came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal, look at verse 25, that thy father hath. Baal was a false god. This is Gideon's daddy. he has an altar to a false god. He says, go down, cut down the grove that's by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and he did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city. The men of the city. Who? The Israelites. The Israelites. That he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it. And a second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash, I love this, and Joash, that's Gideon's daddy, said, you know what? He said unto all that stood against him, will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one has cast down his altar. Therefore, on that day, he called him, called Gideon, Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he had thrown down his altar. His daddy said, you know what? If my boy can just go out here and throw it down, and we're the ones upset, and Baal doesn't seem to even know, maybe Baal isn't anything. We need to stand for Christ no matter who we think is going to be in opposition. We don't have to be mean. We don't need to be nasty. But I want you to, did you see this though? The first opposition came from his own people. Listen, you start saying that you're going to stand up for Christ, you start giving out the gospel, you change the way you live, and you know what you're going to have? You're going to have some Christian. What are you trying to do? Who are you trying to fool? Well, aren't you something? Trying to make the rest of us look bad? So since when you got all fanatical? Now, I'm just believing God is who God is. It's like if you actually believe it and live by it, you're a fanatic. His own people. We have a culture in our society that looks at true Christianity and a heart that's given over to God, and we don't know what to do with it. It's so rare. You know what? You go down to the ball game. Why, we are. Penn State did pretty well yesterday, didn't they? 79-7 or whatever was it? Yeah, well, I understand, but still, you know, it's nice. Yeah. And I'll guarantee you there were some folks up there at Happy Valley going, yeah, yeah, I saw them. I saw the views and the kids and the players and the way they were celebrating and so forth. And they, amen. But you stand up and say, the blood of Jesus hath paid for all of our sins. And somebody goes, that's right, preacher. And we all go, you know what? That game's going to be forgotten. It was just a scrimmage. But I'll tell you what, when we're in heaven, we're not going to forget the fact that we're in heaven, because for the blood of Jesus. We may be surprised who will follow if we will take our stand. The first opposition came from his own people. You've heard me tell the stories. When I grew up, my dad didn't want anything to do with this. Even though it was a Sunday school teacher at the church that he took me to, which was where he grew up, that made sure I knew how to get saved. It was you and your mother's religion. I don't want to have hearing about stupid. You can't live like that, Sterling. Can't do that. Just won't work. My father. But you know what? Look what happened with Gideon. Gideon decided to take a stand. He was too scared to even do it during the day. But you know what? His father said, you know what? The boy's right. The boy's right. Took a stand. His daddy followed him. You know what? I still remember the day when my dad was down here and had select specialty at York Hospital. And he was down there, and then they went in there and he was doing dialysis because his kidneys had shut down. And I've been down to visit him. And I said, I've got to go back to work, Dad. Can I pray for you before I go? Yeah. I grabbed his hand. We talked. We prayed. When I got finished praying, he held onto my hand. And he says, Sterling, is there anything I need to do to make sure that I'm good to go if I don't get out of this hospital? Now listen, I went through that just like I would with anybody else. And he's crying, I'm crying, he's praying, we're getting it settled. And I'm not patting myself on the back. I just simply trust and obey, and God has blessed. And he saw that. I remember when I came up here, he says, I don't know how... He said, well, they're going to be able to pay you. I said, no. Go ahead. It always seems to work for you. If that's what you think the Lord wants you to do, go ahead. I'm telling you, you take a stand. Lovingly take a stand. Don't argue. Don't debate. Just be. And you may be surprised what God will do through that. But you know what we'll do? Now watch me. I'm doing what the angel said here. Mighty man of valor. Just stand up and do it. Otherwise, we're going to be down by the wine press, threshing our wheat, not able to do anything, and the world's going to be coming in and stealing more of our rights, more of what we have, taking it all away. And all Gideon did was stand up. You know what? It doesn't even say that the Midianites gave him a hard time. The hard time he got was from the family. We can overcome if we will simply trust and obey. Do whatever God says, no matter how crazy or how awkward or difficult. I can trust and obey God. It is a simple matter of choice. I can decide to seek him with all my heart. I'm going to be nice to you. We're going to start here next time.